Hi, this is Mac of Mac's List. Find Your Dream Job is presented by Mac's List, an online community where you can find free resources for your job search, plus online courses and books that help you advance your career. My latest book is called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's a reference guide for your career that covers all aspects of the job search, including expert advice in every chapter. You can get the first chapter for free by visiting maxlist.org/anywhere.
This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Ben Forsegg, Managing Director of Mac's List. You're probably wondering what's happened to your usual host, Mac Pritchard. Unfortunately, he's feeling under the weather, so I am temporarily filling in today. Mac will be back with us in a few weeks. Today, I'm joined by my colleagues, Becky Thomas and Jessica Black from the Mac's List team. This week, we're talking about how to handle job rejection. Anyone who's gone through a job search can tell you that rejection is par for the course. If you apply for 10 jobs, you're probably going to get rejected for 9 of them. Failure is, unfortunately, the norm. This is true for even the most skilled professionals. Even perfect candidates can lose out on a job because of something outside of their control. One of the keys to a successful job search is to maintain positivity and perspective in the face of rejection. Of course, this is easier said than done. This week, we're joined by author and career coach, Anneli Olaolani. She's actually our first African female guest on the show. Thank you, Anneli. She'll explain how to manage failure in your job search and turn rejection into a learning opportunity. We'll speak with Anneli in a few minutes. One group of people who perhaps face job search rejection more than most are older workers. We talk about ageism a lot on this show and have discussed why some employers shy away from older candidates. Becky shares some research from Columbia University on the benefits of hiring older professionals. So if you're an employer out there, listen up. Our listener question this week comes from Kendra in Walla Walla, Washington, who asks whether she should cover her tattoos in an interview. Jessica spills the ink later on in the show. But first, as always, let's check in with the Mac's List team. Becky and Jessica, we're getting the band back together.
That's right.
Yeah, welcome back, Ben.
So every week, Becky searches the nooks and crannies of the internet. They call her the English Muffin Lady. And she looks for websites, books, and tools that you can use in your job search and in your career. So Becky, what have you found for us this week?
So this week I have a sort of combo article and ebook called 10 Advantages of Retaining and Hiring Older Workers, Lessons from NYC Small Businesses. So this is from Columbia Mailman School of Public Health, and it's this initiative called Age Smart Employer, and it's all about sort of educating employers about why older workers are helpful and all the benefits that having an age-diverse workforce can be. So the article shares a bunch of anecdotes from like dozens of small business owners in New York City who have all hired and retained older workers. These stories highlight what it's really like to have older workers on staff, and it shows the positive aspects of hiring and retaining older workers. It also elevates 10 distinct advantages of having an older workforce that are sort of nailed down in this attached PDF ebook that you can download for free. Some of the advantages include older workers bring extensive skills and experience, which is kind of a no-brainer. Seasoned employees can retain valuable business info and train new employees. Strong work ethic. And then I read some stuff about how older workers can actually improve business. Like they can bring in more older customers. There was a couple anecdotes from businesses like delis and stuff in New York that relied heavily on tourists, and like 80% of tourists are over the age of 50. And so those tourists really loved having older workers wait on them and serve them. And they kept coming back to work with those folks. So that was really interesting. And I just feel like this resource was really helpful, and it's really written towards employers, sort of convince employers why they should hire older. But it's also a wonderful piece for an older worker who's looking for a job right now. I feel like the stories can help you really rethink your perceived disadvantages. Like, I know that we talk a lot about how like there's so much like, you know, negative stuff out there against older workers, but there's also so many great things about hiring older workers. And I think if you as an older worker know that and think about that and convey that in the way you talk about yourself, that can really help you reframe your career story in a more positive light. So I just think that this is really sort of a feel-good, positive thing that also is based in some real stories that are really powerful. So I would definitely encourage any older workers and any employers who are sort of, you know, thinking about bringing more diversity to their workforce in terms of age, should definitely check out. So I'll include the link in the show notes.
I really like this resource. And I think job seekers, older job seekers, can use this to kind of think about those additional soft skills that they bring to an organization,
totally.
And maybe kind of reframing the value that they are presenting when they're applying for jobs.
Yeah, like, oh, you might not have thought of this, but as an older worker, here's the advantages that I bring to your business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like it too, just because I think that the more stories about how people are human and how, mm-hmm. like, every aspect of your life and your career and your background and all of those things are beneficial. I think that the more things that there are like that, the better it is. And it just helps both job seekers, but also employers just get a better understanding of the benefits and seeing people as human rather than just a body or an age or mm-hmm. A number of work experience or, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. So I think that, and I liked your anecdote about the older workers or the older patrons, identifying with older workers, serving them or whatever, because I think it goes back to sort of that representation of like seeing yourself in those scenarios always helps make it, it's just good. I liked that a lot. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Becky. If you, our listeners, have a suggestion for Becky, please write her and we will share your idea on our show. Becky can be reached at becky@maxlist.org. Now it's time to hear from you, our listeners. Jessica joins us to answer one of your questions. What do we have in the mailbag this week, Jessica?
This week we have a question from Kendra in Walla Walla, and she sent in an email question. And she says, I'm about to graduate from college and I need to find a job ASAP. My question is about the interview process. I've got several visible tattoos on my arms. Nothing offensive, but I show a lot of ink. Is this going to be held against me in an interview? Do I really need to cover my arms? I'm not really excited about working for a company or a boss that would have an issue with my body art, but I also don't want to ruin my chances before I even open my mouth. So this is a great question. I think Kendra's point about not wanting to work for an organization that has an issue with her body art, and thus her, an issue with her, is spot on. And I just really agree with this statement overall, and also about her statement about also not wanting to ruin her chances. We're based here in Portland, Oregon, where it's probably a lot less of an issue just because
tattoo capital of the world.
It's or pretty close if it's not. There's definitely a lot of visible body ink in Portland. I know it varies by industry. Obviously, finance is still pretty conservative in, you know, wearing suits and things like that. But overall, it's a very casual environment, especially in the workplace. And so I feel a little bit conflicted on what advice to give, just because I feel like on one hand, I'd want to say, no, just do you, be authentic and wear what you would normally wear in an interview, whether it covers your arms or not. But on the opposite hand, I would also want to urge Kendra to kind of broach this topic over the course of the interview process rather than kind of right up front, because like she says, she doesn't want to ruin her chances before she even opens her mouth. And I do think that that is a very valid point. And I encourage her not to do that either, because I do think that implicit bias is a thing. And even if an employer is supportive of body art or liberal in their thinking, whatever it is, they may still make a snap judgment about you based on whatever bias they might have. And just kind of the ingrained assumption that, you know, you dress up for an interview and you put your best foot forward and all of those things. I would also say that don't cover it up or hide it, but you just want to put your best foot forward to allow your experience to speak for you rather than your body to sort of give an impression that you're not ready to give. I would also use the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the interview. So I guess my feedback here is that I would encourage Kendra to go into the interview process, again, not covering it, but you know, maybe dressing a little bit more conservatively than you might otherwise, just because you want to be able to have that experience to uncover this over the course of the interview process rather than all up front as you walk in the door and someone makes a snap judgment. But I would use the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the interview to bring this topic up. Or even if at the end of the second interview, if that feels better, I would feel out the situation just to make sure that you're bringing it up at the right time based on the relationship that you have with this hiring manager. But I mean, take that opportunity to let the manager know at the end of the interview or during this interview process that you do have body art and that you would like to find the right fit where you're free to wear what you feel comfortable in, and just have a conversation with the employer about how they feel about body art. And then this way, the conversation is on your terms after the person has already gotten to know you rather than, again, just sort of as you walk in the door. Yeah, I guess the last thing I would say is that it's still pretty normal to go into interviews, even in Portland, dressed up, even though that's not an expectation a lot of times to wear those types of, you know, a blazer or a suit or whatever it is on a day-to-day, but it's still pretty normal to do that in the interview process. And so I think that there is it wouldn't be out of the ordinary or obvious that you're hiding something if you show up with a blazer or long sleeves, that sort of thing. So again, do what feels the most comfortable for you, but I would ease into that conversation. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with most of that. I think that it's always like my instinct is always to just like be yourself, like don't hide anything.
Totally. That's why I had such an internal struggle of like wanting to just be like, no, you got to know that right away.
Yeah.
But
at
the same time, there's also a lot of things.
And I think it depends a lot on the season for women going into interview. Like if you have full on long sleeves to the wrist, during the summer in an interview, it could be sort of like, why are you so like overdressed?
Do you think so though?
I don't know.
Because I was thinking about that too, because I was thinking that we're moving into the summer months and it would be harder. But I also think that like most places have air conditioning and
that's
that sort
true.
Of thing that you would show up
with like a little sweater
with
or something.
Like even a sweater
a
or
blazer,
something
yeah.
where it's not a full on parka jacket.
Yeah,
but
that's
like
true.
You could have like a blouse that has long sleeves.
True. Yeah.
I mean I definitely had that same thought where I mean, I personally would still wear short sleeves in the summer, but I would have a jacket as well.
That's true.
So
yeah,
I
so
don't
maybe
know.
That could be the strategy is like go in with your jacket on and like have the interview and then whip the jacket off and be like, "Do you still like me with my tattoos?" No,
that's
I don't
a
know.
Pretty bold move.
But I do like what you said about just like you know going into that first interview and really focusing on your presentation and how you speak and not having your body speak for you. Think is really good. So I would definitely support that and just be like, yeah, like have that interview and bring up the topic of dress code and sort of any limitations to personal expression and things like that. Because I think people deal with that stuff with like hair dye and piercings and all that stuff too. And it definitely depends on what industry she's in. So yeah, just feel it out.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I playing off of that, I think the key to Kendra's question is this going to be a problem for me in interviews? And the answer is in some companies, yes, and in other companies, no. And you could probably get a pretty good feel for what the internal culture or expectation is if you do a little LinkedIn research, look at what the rest of the staff look like.
True.
If you go to their staff page and there's a bunch of people with pink and green hair, then probably some ink is okay. If it's a bunch of stuffy guys wearing suits, that tells you something else. But you know, you got to weigh the options here between kind of complete self-expression and putting, quote, your best foot forward and kind of presenting yourself in a very conservative way and then rolling out your personality later.
Yeah, and I don't even think that you have to really like rein in or like put on a false sense of identity.
You
still should be 100% authentic and be you in the interview, but just, you know, start out wearing long sleeves and then have that conversation. Unless you really feel strongly, I mean, this is again up to you, Kendra. If you do kind of just want to find that right fit where they're gonna support you 100% no matter what, then maybe the best move is to kind of dress however you would normally dress, and then you'll find the right fit eventually. So again, tough question, very. It could go either way, but good luck and let us know how it goes. I think it'll work out well.
Well, thank you, Jessica. If you have a question, send her an email at jessica@maxlist.org. You can also call our listener line, which is 716-JOB-TALK, or send us a message on Facebook. If we use your question on the show, we'll send you a copy of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. Kendra, your copy is on its way to the onion fields of Walla Walla right now. We'll be back in just a moment. When we return, I'll talk with our guest, Annalie Olaolani, about how to handle job rejection. Have you ever been asked a question like this in a job interview? Tell me about a time when you didn't agree with your boss. It's a tough one, right? What would you say? This is what hiring managers call a behavioral interview question, and it's a common tactic. Employers use this kind of question to explore your fit for a job based on your past experience. It can also be an easy question to answer, but you have to have the right strategy. Max shares his tips for how to answer these gotcha questions in his new guide, 100 Behavioral Interview Questions You Need to Know. This free resource teaches you a simple 4-step process for expertly answering the most common behavioral questions. To get your copy, visit maxlist.org/questions. Again, that's maxlist.org/questions. Now let's continue with our show. Annalie Olaolani is the founder of air.com.ng, a social enterprise created to help young women build capacity and learn career skills. Annalie hosts the Hire Me Bootcamp, a training platform for millennials. She is certified in product management, HR, and digital skills, and she regularly speaks, facilitates, and writes about jobs and careers. Annalie is joining us today from Abuja, Nigeria. Hi, Annalie. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Annalie, our topic this week is how to handle rejection when you don't get a job. And I thought a good place to start this conversation would be by asking you a personal question. Thinking back on your own career, how often have you personally faced rejection in your own job searches?
A lot of times. A lot of times. And some of them were not pleasant, I must admit. At the end of the interview, I felt like, okay, I didn't do too well there. But yeah, it was, I have faced rejection a couple of times, yes. And you know, the rejection cuts across not just our jobs, you know, relationships and contracts and businesses. But I know the focus of today's career, so yes, I've had this so many times come to me. It's painful to say the least.
Yeah, I think you're in good company because I think encountering failure in a job search, unfortunately, is the norm. And I think everyone sitting here in this office definitely, but also people listening have experienced some kind of failure in their job search. you know, that job you really, really want, that job that you're perfect for, and you don't get the interview, or you get the interview and you mess it up. It's tough. So how do you suggest people manage the anger and frustration they feel when they get rejected for a job?
Hey, thank you for that question. One of the things I would advise is that, you know, you talk about it. I mean, before going into the interview, you would have prepared yourself, spoken to a friend, an expert, or a partner about job description the interviewer going for, even had a role play, you know. But when you get out of the interview, or you a couple of days later, you hear a negative response, just talk about it. It's good for you to find somebody who you trust or who understands you, and just air your frustrations out to the person. The reality really is that rejection hurts, you know, and any form of this can be a dent to your image. It can be a dent to your self-esteem. So if you're able to find somebody you can express your emotions to, you know, that would really help.
Yeah, that could be tough because, you know, when you lose out an opportunity, especially one you think you're great for, you know, that's embarrassing. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about their failure, but talking about it can really help, can't it?
Yes, it can. And that's why I think talking about it with somebody that you trust, or somebody that knows you, you know, and somebody that understands, you know, the process as well, will be helpful. At least you're not going to be getting as much criticisms at that point in time. The person is, it's like a shoulder to cry on, if you know what I mean. You know, I think it's really important at this point in time to share how the rejection actually made you feel. And getting over that particular feeling is a good step out of coming out of that phase.
Yeah, I think that this underlines the importance of having a support network. Whether it's your spouse or friends or just people you know and trust, maybe even a job coach, people who you can use to help you navigate what is a very difficult process, the job search. So I've got a tricky question for you, Annalie. Do you think there's a way to prepare yourself ahead of time for rejection? Because we know a lot of times going into that job search, rejection is going to be probably the most likely outcome. If you apply to 10 jobs, 9 of them you might get rejected from. So is there a way to kind of steal yourself ahead of time for that?
Nobody plans to be rejected. I don't think there is a way. I think I would rather we remain optimistic and positive about it. Anticipating failure, I think when you get into an interview, it's going to affect your confidence and your self-esteem. So I wouldn't advocate that anybody goes in anticipating that just in case I fail, you know. But I'll rather, you know, like, hang on, I'm really going to do well in this. If I don't do well, then, you know, I would know that, you know, better luck next time, or maybe their loss, or, you know, an opportunity for me to develop in another area or something. But I think thinking about what you're going to, how better you will be after the interview rejection is where I'll rather lean into.
I stand corrected. You're absolutely right. I think going in with a positive approach is best. You know, I wonder again, because again, being told no or never hearing back from the employer happens so often. So just thinking through strategies to help people manage what we know is a very common occurrence in the job search. But let's transition here. And I was thinking we could talk a little bit about how failure could improve your job search strategy over time. Could you talk a little bit more about what job seekers can learn from failure?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the funny thing, I know that I have developed and learned through rejections. I know it sounds crazy to say, but that's the truth. Because for me, developing at every rejection phase, it helps you find out what was missing. You are much better than when you were at the beginning of the interview and even afterwards. So you do your best to just ensure that you have learned something after the job interview. So they asked you about the company, you had no clue what it was. After that interview, if you were going to go to another interview, you would know more about the company. You know, if it was that you, there was something about the job description or the personal specification that you were not thoroughly clear about at the particular interview. And after the interview, it's a time for you to go back and do a proper research on what the key skills are required for the job they're applying for. I find that sometimes a lot of us don't want to be very honest with ourselves. I think it's important to evaluate yourself and be honest about the interview process, you know. Just be really honest and say, listen, I didn't do well here, okay? I didn't answer these questions correctly. Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. That's a way for you to go back and learn. That's an opportunity for you to learn. I think it's...
So in your experience, do most job seekers know where they went off the rails in an interview? They have some sense that, oh, I didn't answer that question the way I should have.
I think so. I think if it is that you want to be really honest with yourself, not all the time. You know, one thing I find so far is, for me personally, I could prepare very well for an interview, go in there, answer all the questions. And in my opinion, I've aced everything, right? And I get a rejection. I'm thinking, hang on a second, what happened? If at that point in time, if I get the feedback and nothing went wrong, it just means that I probably wasn't the right fit at that point in time. Maybe nothing to do with the job description, nothing to do with the key skills. Maybe my timing, maybe something. But I just want everyone to understand that because you were rejected at that point in time doesn't mean that you are a failure. It's just that at that point in time, what the company was probably trying to look for, maybe a click or something, it didn't work at that time.
Absolutely. You know, we've said this earlier in the program that even absolutely perfect candidates, people who have all the right skills and qualities that the employer needs, they can still miss out on a job because there's so many other variables at play here. People making decisions, maybe the hiring manager or the boss of the company is inserting their voice and their special needs onto the hiring process. So many things go on that you can't take failure and say it was about me necessarily.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And, you know, just to focus a little bit of where I am at the moment, Nigeria, some people complain about that maybe they were intimidating to the recruiter. You know, one thing I'm looking at doing is ensure that the talent management in this country is and the recruitment strategies are much better, because you can actually go in, like you said, you've got all the, you know, everything is on point, and then the hiring manager will just turn around and not hire you. And most of the time people have complained that the hiring manager was probably intimidated by your qualifications or thinking, oh my gosh, you're coming to take my job. No way. It happened over here. So that could be a reason, which is why I keep saying never ever feel like, you know, if it is that everything on the table, everything that you were supposed to answer, you answered all the questions well, you still didn't get the job, then it probably wasn't for you. Okay. So you just move on.
Absolutely. And yeah. I think that Nigeria and the United States are very similar in that sense, where, you know, hiring managers are people too, right? And they come in with their own sets of beliefs and biases and fears and worries and things like that. And those things all play into the selection process for good or ill. So, you know, we talked a little bit about when the job seeker knows where they messed up in an interview. What about when you had this interview that seemed to go perfectly well, you don't see any mistake that you made, but you didn't get the job. Do you recommend that people go and ask for feedback from the hiring manager?
Absolutely. And I've faced that issue as well, actually. Everything is done. And, you know, at that point in time, I don't feel bad, but not all organizations are actually have an excellent process of giving feedback, which I wish it would really change. I wish that organizations would actually make sure that, okay, you didn't do well here, you didn't do well here. This is the constructive criticisms. It doesn't happen as often. But I would still tell candidates, just send an email in and try and get one or two comments about why wasn't I chosen. Now, I feel like I've spoken to some recruiters on what they feel, how they feel when, you know, candidates call in to ask for feedback. And some feel like, oh, you know, why are they asking? They didn't get the job anyway. I feel like you're too forward, you know, or you're trying to be arrogant, you know, you didn't get the job. So what? I'm like, but that shouldn't be how it should be. The impression is that you, as a recruiter, you have a reason why you didn't hire them. So just give them a feedback, for crying out loud, you know. So just to summarize the answer, please, candidates, try and write in, call in, find out, get a statement back. Let them tell you something. Give me a reason why you didn't hire me. Not because I'm trying to be mad at you or anything. I just want to go away and ensure that if an opportunity like this comes up next time, I will be ready. I'll be better ready and better equipped to attend the interview and hopefully land the job.
You've identified another area where both our countries are very similar. I know a lot of hiring managers and recruiters are reticent to send feedback back to candidates. One, because sometimes there's a policy against it. And two, because it can sometimes feel uncomfortable to say, you know, here's where you messed up or here's what you could do better. So the recommendation we make to job seekers is always frame the question to the hiring manager, you know, what areas could I strengthen, you know, to find a position like this in the future. If you frame it in a positive instead of like, where did I mess up? What did I do wrong? It gives the other person a lot more opportunity to offer constructive, positive thoughts in return.
Absolutely, I agree with you. The way we communicate is very essential. And that's why I was saying right in Nigeria, the recruiters will come off as if, oh, you know, you came off a bit arrogant. Why are you asking me that kind of question? So what I do is also tell the candidates, ask them nicely. I want to do better. I want to develop. I want to learn more. You know, how can I do this better? You know, and that's how I feel you can get that. And if you don't get the feedback, okay, just move on, really, right?
Absolutely. So, Anneli, I was reading a blog post you wrote on your website, and you mentioned something about the importance of developing more at each rejection phase. Could you talk a little bit about what that means?
Okay, so what I mean by that is when you have an interview and you don't get the position, you go away and ensure that you know more. So, for example, I feel like you would have been asked a couple of questions that if you did a self-evaluation after the interview, you would understand that I didn't actually know that, or I didn't know this, or I didn't understand this better. Just take your notes, go away, study, read, do your research, and then you can know a bit more or better than when you initially had the interview. So that's what I mean by that statement.
So treat every experience like a learning opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, somebody once said, I don't know who said it, but I always use this quote, that the greatest room in the whole world is the room for improvement. You know, so treat every opportunity as a time for you to learn something new. Be better at doing something as well.
Absolutely. So, Anneli, obviously rejection feels awful and most people want to avoid it. What's the best advice you have for job seekers to maximize the probability of success in an interview?
My advice would be, as long as you can prepare as much as you can, right? But do your best to going as confident as possible. Do your research, of course. Ensure you know about the company. I'm big on interview wardrobe. I'm so big on that. Find out what the appropriate outfit is for the position you are being interviewed for. Ensure that you have the job description and person specification if you can, and read about the company. And then find out where you actually fit in that role. Find out if there's any additional thing you can actually do, mirror your experiences, your skills, your abilities into the job in question, and prepare very well for scenario-based questions, you know, and try and ensure that you're leaving that interview, you're leaving that person who's interviewed you with thinking about only you will be on their mind. So do all you can. Prepare really well. You can't say enough about preparation, can you? And then make sure that you have a big smile I love smiling. I smile a lot. You can see my face. I smile a lot. Just keep on smiling.
I can hear your smile right now, Annalee.
Don't rumble, okay? And please, I always say something to candidates. If you do not understand the question, please ask them, could you repeat that question for me, please? Don't assume you understand what they're saying. Ask them. If you need to write it down, can I write the question down? Write the question down. Don't be in a hurry to answer any questions. It's an interview time because you need to get it right. That's what I would say.
So to recap here, it's research the company, show up in an appropriate wardrobe for an interview, make sure you understand the questions, and understand the role that you're interviewing for, and smile. That's the most important one, right? Smiling.
Yes, it is. Smile.
Well, this is great, Annalee. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. So tell me, what are you working on for the rest of this year?
Thank you so much. Yeah, so I've got this, I'm working on a little project. It's an internship opportunity for young adults between the ages of 14 to 18. It's, you know, summer is around the corner. And what I'm looking to do with a friend of mine who also runs an academy is to get this young adults into a professional work environment and get them to learn what it means to at least be in a career environment. Show them, you know, time management, professionalism, and we're going to cut across different industries. So it's really an internship to ensure that we build them, get them to understand or start thinking about their career early on and start and let them understand what it means to actually get a job and work. In Nigeria, a lot of the people may just want to stay at home and go for holidays, which is really okay. But those who want to learn more, we give them the opportunity to do that. That's what I'm working on next.
That's fantastic, Annalee. So if people want to learn more about you, they can visit your website. It's air.com.ng. That's H-E-I-R.com.ng. And they can also go to your Twitter account. That's at airwoman. And we'll include links to both those resources in our show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today, Annalee.
Thank you so much. And you can tweet at me as well, Annalee Olaolani.
Oh, great. Well, we'll include your other Twitter account as well.
Thank you so much for speaking to me today. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
It was our pleasure. Thank you. So we're back in the studio with Becky and Jessica. Tell me, team, what did you think of the points that Annalee made?
I really liked how she kept going back to the sort of need for support and to have people to talk to. I think that it is really common and sort of easy to fall into that trap of, oh, I'm the only one who's failing here. I'm the only one getting rejected. I don't want to bother anyone with my problems. I think that, like, if you bottle it up, you're not going to learn from it. And if you talk about it and sort of like work through it with people that you trust, it's going to give you those lessons that you can take and move forward with. So I think that was really a key point for me.
Me too. That really resonated with me also of not just the support system, which obviously is very important, but just the fact of talking about it, because I think we get so caught up in kind of just like bottle it up, move on and
just like plow through.
Keep your head down and just keep working towards it and don't stop to dwell on it and just like don't stop until you are successful in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that her focus on stopping and both talking about it, but also thinking about it and just kind of sitting with that of knowing that it's okay that it didn't work out and kind of learning from it what you can take away from that experience to help yourself get better in the next ones. Mm-hmm. Because I really liked her focus on that as well of like, every opportunity is a learning opportunity or that you can learn something from every portion of it, whether that is, you know, reaching out to the hiring managers or if it's just kind of self-processing of, you know, going through feeling which question you could have done better on, what question you've never gotten before that mm-hmm. now you know the answer to. And also like being able to decide if at the end of that interview, kind of having that processing rather than kind of being so caught up in not getting that job, but kind of having the self-reflection of, did I even want that job? And mm-hmm. what is my next step to find a job that I want?
Yeah. And she was saying like, you know, think about it as like, that wasn't meant to be.
Right.
And sort of like, here's what I can learn from it, instead of being like, oh, I didn't get that job. It was going to be so perfect. Like
exactly.
It probably wasn't your job, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I liked her point about reaching back out to the hiring manager and asking
for feedback
mm-hmm. because
I think that's huge.
Yeah. In my experience, most hiring managers are really nice people and they want candidates to succeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's little things that can be improved with every interview. And as long as you're not putting them on the spot to like explain their own decision making of why they picked another candidate over you, if you frame it in terms of what could I do better,
absolutely.
I think a lot of people are going to write back and give you some really good feedback on that.
Yeah. And I liked her focus on just staying optimistic and being resilient, but also going into it every time with the belief that you're going to get that job and being prepared and if she was great. She had so many good pieces of advice.
Touche. Don't expect failure.
That's right.
Yeah, I know. You were like, oh, what should you do to prepare for it? And she's like, don't prepare for failure. Prepare for success.
That's great.
Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Annalie. And thank you to our listeners for downloading today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And remember to maximize your opportunities and to avoid that rejection and land the job you want, don't let yourself get surprised by tough behavioral interview questions. These are what Annalie was calling situational questions. So we've got this great resource here at MaxList. It's the 100 behavioral interview questions you need to know. And you can get your own copy if you go to maxlist.org/questions. Again, that URL is maxlist.org/questions. Join us next Wednesday when our special guest will be Christine Laporte. She'll explain the truth about job postings. Ooh. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.